My dearly beloved, we continue today with our discussion of the seven capital sins, covering today the sin of lust. Lust, of course, is indulgence in sensual pleasures, impure pleasures, contrary to the law of God. We could indeed say that all the problems of modern society, or nearly all, go back to the violation of these two commandments, the sixth and ninth commandments, which command purity in deed, in word, and in thought. Impure pleasure lasts but a short time and then is followed by remorse of conscience. We read the words of Saint Jerome, "How bitter are the fruits of lust! They are more bitter than gall, more cruel than the sword." St. Augustine said something similar. St. Augustine, who himself had been a victim to this vice for a number of years. And he said, "The unchaste man is more tortured by his passion than the martyrs were by shedding their blood. For remorse of conscience is the torture they experience." And you think of the fact that indulgence in impure pleasures lasts but a short time, but then the remorse of conscience lasts for a long time, maybe a lifetime. We have the example of Esau in the Old Testament, who sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, as it says in Scripture. He sold his birthright for food because he was hungry, and he wanted to satisfy that craving to eat right away. And so he thought nothing of selling his birthright to his brother Jacob. But then he regretted it, and he regretted it for the remainder of his life. Thus we see the folly of giving way to this vice, which brings only remorse of conscience. So the question then is, how does one conquer the temptation of lust, the temptation against purity? First and foremost, we must avoid occasions of sin. It would be foolish to think, and indeed presumptuous to think, that God would protect us from sin if we place ourselves knowingly and willingly into an unnecessary occasion, a near occasion of mortal sin. Thus, we must avoid all of the dangers that seem to be everywhere today as best we can. Sights and sounds, there are visual images, there are places that are occasions of sin, there are bad companions, and there are so many dangers. But we can, if we wish to do so, we can avoid these dangers. In addition to avoiding the occasions of sin, we must practice a good spiritual life, frequent and devout reception of the sacraments, go to confession often, receive the sacraments again with a good preparation and devotion. And then prayer, the daily rosary, morning and night prayers, other practices of piety. And not only to pray, but to cultivate a devotion to our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Virgins, and to Saint Joseph, who is known for his purity, the chaste spouse of our Blessed Mother, and many other saints whom we can honor and invoke. We also can make use of sacramentals. There is holy water. There are blessed sacramentals, especially as an aid to purity, such as the cord of St. Joseph or the cord of St. Philomena. And then, of course, we have the scapular and holy medals and so many other means of grace for those who use them devoutly. Let us also, in addition to making use of these means of grace, keep in mind the importance of avoiding impurity because it can lead to hardness of heart. Sadly, those who indulge in this sin lose a taste for the things of God, for the things of the spiritual life. And you can try to speak to them, but it doesn't penetrate. Because once they become a victim to this vice, it becomes a habit, so that they are chained to this vice, and find themselves falling into it even unwillingly, as it were, dragged by this bad habit they have formed, dragged by these chains they have forged for themselves by giving into this vice over and over again. And perhaps more than any other sin, this one so easily becomes a bad habit. And we must be very careful to avoid that bad habit because it leads, as I said, to hardness of heart and a lack of appreciation of spiritual things. It is also important to remember what St. Alphonsus says, and that is that God's mercy is infinite, but his mercy for each individual is not infinite. In other words, the mercies that he will grant to us, the opportunities of forgiveness, are limited. As St. Alphonsus puts it, quoting from Scripture, God has determined a number of sins that he will pardon for each individual. And once that number has been reached, we cannot say that God will no longer pardon, because God will always forgive if the sinner is sorry and repents and seeks forgiveness. God will always forgive. But what happens is, once that number, that limit has been reached, God withdraws his grace from this soul who over and over again committed sin. So God withdraws his grace, and then this sinner, without the grace of God, falls into sin. And that is a dreadful situation that we ought to fear, that presuming on God's mercy, we offend him over and over, and then thus no longer deserve to receive the abundant graces that God right now is giving to us. Let us remember that grace is a precious gift of God and must not be abused. Someone who has fallen into mortal sin and whose conscience is urging him or her to go to confession, make a good confession, change his life, must not abuse that grace, because perhaps there will come a time when that grace will no longer be given. Also, let us keep in mind what St. Paul says in one of his epistles, that God does not command the impossible. God will not allow us to be tempted, to use his words, beyond our strength. But with the temptation, will also give us the grace to bear it, to be able to conquer it. God will always do his part to give us sufficient grace to conquer temptation. But there may be times where temptation is very strong and we need more grace. Then we have to do our part to ask for it. And the Council of Trent had a famous saying, and St. Alphonsus quotes this in his book on prayer, that God will not, quoting St. Paul, allow you to be tempted beyond your strength, but will give you the grace to conquer it, or will give you the inspiration or the grace to ask for more grace, so that you will have the sufficient grace to conquer, and we can conquer every temptation with our own efforts, aided, but only aided, by God's grace. And God will always do his part. So let us never say, well, it's too hard. Temptations are too strong. They are too many. I cannot overcome them. By the grace of God, we can. And not only through prayer and the sacraments, but also penance. We think of penance during Lent, but really, if you look at the lives of the saints, they did penance throughout their lives. Lent is a time for an extra effort at penance, but self-denial, self-discipline, is needed throughout our lives. Our Lord said, "Deny thyself, take up thy cross, and follow me." And when we do penance, then the desires of the flesh, of our fallen human nature, are not so strong. In fact, we see the lives of certain saints like Saint Benedict and Saint Francis of Assisi threw themselves into thorn bushes when they were strongly tempted against chastity, so that feeling that pain on their body, they would not succumb to the temptation, and the temptation went away, was gone, because the pain was so great. We admire the extraordinary deeds that the saints did, and why? Because they did not want to offend God in the least. And let us also remember, as the Imitation of Christ says, not to give the devil an entrance. not to begin to toy with temptation and think, well, I can dwell on it just a little bit, then I will get rid of it. Oh, how clever the devil is. Because once he gets his foot in the door, then it will be harder to resist the temptation. So, as the Imitation of Christ puts it, resist the beginning after remedies come too late. Resist right from the start. We recall the words of Our Lady at Fatima, that more souls go to hell for sins of the flesh than for any other reason. And we know, given the tragic state of the world today, that that is indeed very true. How the devil must mock those victims who live lives of lust as he tempts them to do, because he himself, Satan, does not have a body. And therefore, he is not guilty of this type of sin. His sin was one of pride. And how he must mock those who fall into his snares and follow their passions and live lives of lust. On the other hand, by striving to conquer this temptation, becoming the master over our fallen human nature, we live like angels. We who have mortal flesh, we become like the angels of God. That is why, one of the reasons why St. Thomas Aquinas, whose feast we celebrated this past week, is called the angelic doctor, because of his practicing this virtue of purity. Let us then strive to become like the angels. Let us conquer from today forward this sin. And if you have given in the past, resolve to do so no longer, and remember that with God's grace it is impossible, for God does not ask the impossible. Let us not abuse his wonderful mercy. Let us be grateful for the pardon, the forgiveness that we have received, and resolve that we will nevermore offend our good God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.